Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 388, the first four stanzas. To thee, O Lord, I humbly cry, to thee my supplication make, to thee I bring my sad complaint, to thee my bitter grief I take, and what follows, Psalter 388, the first four stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Genesis 37, the verses 24 through 36. And afterwards from the Canons of Dort, the first head of doctrine, the Articles 3 and 4. Genesis 37, beginning with verse 24. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. And they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed the kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found, know now, whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted, and he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. The Canons of Dort, the first head of doctrine of divine predestination, the Articles 3 and 4, Article 3. And that men may be brought to believe, God mercifully sends the messengers of these most joyous tidings to whom he will and at what time he pleaseth, by whose ministry men are called to repentance and faith in Christ crucified. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Romans 10, the verses 14 and 15. Article 4. The wrath of God abideth upon those who believe not this gospel, but such as receive it and embrace Jesus the Savior by a true and living faith, are by him delivered from the wrath of God and from destruction, and have the gift of eternal life conferred upon them. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Henry and Chelsea DeCock, who were blessed with the birth of a baby girl, and Mr. John Bazoyan, who has been admitted into the hospital again. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when thou wast granted in thy merciful providence that in this evening hour we may come up to thy courts, and we attempt to draw nigh unto thee, may it please thee to draw nigh unto us poor sinners. Then by renewal in this day, then thou wast given many reasons that thy praise may arise from the earth, but, Lord, then even in these dark and solemn times, where the Lord is still so full of thy mercies, and yet so empty of thanksgiving, Lord, thou knowest only what cometh from above, that shall return unto thee. And to that end we humbly ask thee, that thou may dwell richly amongst us, that thy special presence may be experienced, and that we may be given to hear thy voice. Lord, how good, in the midst of all the trials, in the midst of the difficulties, in the midst of mourning, then we are still so privileged above most of the people upon the face of the earth. There was not one amongst us in this day where there was no food. Then we may still live in a country where there is peace and where there is plenty. Then we commend unto thee the country in war, with so much death, distress, sorrow. Lord, uphold them. May they be given to experience that there is a God in the heavens, and wilt thou help that country. Lord, may it then be all thy goodness that leadeth us and our children to repentance. We shall have to give an account of each blessing which thou granteth unto us and our children. Then thou wast watched over the congregation hitherto in this week, and thou wast not only spared life, thou wast also given life. Were early in this day, then thou wast blessed the father and mother by renewal in their married life with the birth of a little daughter. Lord, wilt thou truly grant a broken and a humble heart, given to be wonder thy wonderful creation, also an impression, a little child that had a beginning and that shall never cease to exist, a soul for a never-ending eternity to that end. May the prayers be multiplied, that it may be a little daughter for thee. Wilt thou strengthen mother? Wilt thou remember the grandparents with their increased blessings, but also increased responsibility? Wilt thou remember the great-grandparents insofar that they are still in the land of the living, and then a great-grandfather by renewal was admitted to the hospital, and wherein this week the doctors hope to perform a procedure to help, we may humbly ask thee that it may prosper in thy hand, to give a little further extension. But, O Lord, there is that dreaded disease, and an extension is only for a time. Ah, may the extension be granted for the saving of a soul. May he, together with his dear wife, may they be given to mightily cry unto thee. We commend unto thee all the mothers with the unborn. Wilt thou graciously watch over them? Wilt thou remember the barren ones amongst us? Lord, we humbly ask thee in this evening hour, that thou may richly bless thy word. We have heard it from the writings of our forefathers, that the glad tidings may be proclaimed to the children of men with a joyous message, that there is a way to be saved. Ah, Lord, it is all thy work. It is free and sovereign grace, and may it please thee in this evening to bless thy word to that end, O Lord. Thou knowest how that each and every one has come up to thy courts in this evening hour. Those that are troubled, those that are distressed, those that feel that they are in a pit, and where there are those times impossible to ever come out. But for thee there is nothing too hard. When thou stretchest forth thy almighty arm, then they shall be delivered. And not only outwardly in the pit, but also spiritually. Thou knowest in the life of thy children, that the ways can be so unfathomable, that they can be so deep, and that it seems at times that thou wast forgotten, and that thou wast forsaken them. But, Lord, may it be experienced in thy house in this evening hour, that thou knowest of them indeed, that their hope may be enlivened, their faith increased, and that they may return to their dwellings with a little rejoicing. Wilt thou grant the further leadings in the life of thy people? We have commemorated in the past weeks that Joseph is yet alive, and that he is governor over all the land of Egypt, and the storehouses, they are so full. By giving out, thou becometh not less, and by holding in, thou can never become greater. And to that end, may it please thee to distribute the precious things of the Lord of the covenant of grace. Lord, convert what is unconverted. Thou wast promised in thy word that they shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure, throughout all generations. Grant those gentle and blessed showers of thy spirit upon us and our children, then the wilderness shall become a fruitful field. Wilt thou also do it in the realm of nature, where it is so very dry? Ah, Lord, thou yet grants a little, but we may humbly ask thee, if it may please thee, to bless the thirsty earth with refreshing showers, all in impression, all sinned away, undeserved, forfeited. But, Lord, thou hast taught thy church to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Wilt thou bless thy word, which has been opened in this day in our Christian school. Ah, bless it to the hearts of young and old. Wilt thou remember all those that labor therein and continue to grant traveling mercies. Lord, remember all the mourning ones amongst us. Remember the family where their hope has ebbed away. Wilt thou uphold them? The hand that is taken away, may the same hand comfort them, ah, grant them a place at thy footstool, and we may humbly ask thee by renewal, if it may please thee, that the searchers may become finders. Remember all the elderly ones in the care home, in their dwellings, in the evening of their life, and wilt thou remember all under the physician's care. Remember the sick relatives, the circumstances, they are known unto thee. Remember all the handicapped ones. Remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. Remember the nations of the earth, where under thy judgments there is a continual spiral down to destruction. Ah, may we be given to see the signs, hearts to perceive it, and that we may be given to cry mightily unto thee, and that in these solemn times, that we and our children may be saved by the work of a triune God, by free and sovereign grace, that thy name may be glorified, O Lord. May we indeed be given to ask great things of thee, where there is such a sufficiency with thee. May it be experienced in this evening hour. Anoint us then with fresh oil from above. Open thy word. Open our mouth, open our hearts. May thy word go forth with power divine, gladden with thy deeds, nothing to plead upon, Lord, but may we be given to plead upon thy mercy. Ah, thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. Thou hast promised where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. May then the outgoing of the service be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Pardon us of all of our great and manifold sins for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 240, the stanzas 1, 3, and 5. O Lord, the God of my salvation, day and night I cry to thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance in thy mercy. Answer me. And what follows, Psalter 240, the stanzas 1, 3, and 5. Thank you. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then by renewal, we wish to ask your attention for the portion of Scripture, Genesis 37, the verses 24 through 36, and we shall read the verses 32, 33, and 34. And they sent a coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. Joseph sold to the merchantmen traveling to Egypt forethought. Judah's proposal accepted. Reuben's great perplexity, the brother's craftiness, and Jacob's deep sorrow. Beloved congregation, we have heard that the way for Joseph was a very mysterious, a very deep, a very unfathomable way. The Lord has granted in his youth two special dreams relating to the future. And then undoubtedly Joseph hoped to go from strength to strength. But the Lord's ways are higher than our ways. We have heard that Joseph was cast into the pit and that he has come into that pit with that long coat of many colors. That coat was received from his father. It was a token of special love. When it pleases the Lord to hold those deep and mysterious ways with his people, when they are cast into a pit, we have mentioned many of them last time. Oh, when it may be granted that they may go into the pit with a coat of many colors, with special tokens of the Lord's favor, then how good it can even be in the pit. When we think of Paul and Silas in Acts 16 in the city of Philippi, when they were cast into prison in the stocks, they were given to sing the Lord's praises. In the history of the church, how many we read of that they have went into prison, into the pit of prison, but all with a long coat of the Lord's favor, the work of a triune God. Think of John Bunyan. Think of Samuel Rutherford. Think of Reverend Leigh DeBoer. The examples can be multiplied. But now for a Joseph in the pit without the long coat given by his father. concerning the pits here below. They can be deep. There can be that miry clay in the bottom. Can be so dark. The opening can seem so small. But let us remember, congregation, here in the time, there is no pit, whether deep, whether dark. There is nothing impossible for the Lord. When it pleases the Lord to grant deliverance, then we shall be brought out. There is one pit in the Bible where there is no deliverance. That is written in the book of Revelation 7 times. That is that bottomless pit. There is no exit. But it may still be declared our forefathers. They have written it so beautiful. We have heard it from the canons of Dort. That the Lord sends his messengers with those joyous tidings. For people that are in that horrible pit. In that miry clay, as I read in Psalm 40, the verses 2 and 3. Oh, those joyous messengers, that there has come one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, given and sent by the Father. Oh, he has went into a pit, as no one on earth has ever has, and to that end, he has made a way possible with the glorification of his Father's attributes. And then by the work of the Holy Spirit, then they are brought out of that horrible pit and miry clay. And then David has declared and placed my feet upon a rock and established my goings and put a new song in my mouth. Then we have heard that Judah, that he has proposed, was close to a trade route. That has come a trade route from Syria to Egypt. We read of two names, Ishmaelites. They are the descendants of Ishmael. He was born approximately 181 years before Joseph was sold. And we read of 12 princes. Then we can understand in those 180 years, when we think of the immigrants that have come in the late 1940s, 1950s, then how many families with the Lord's blessings, that they have prospered and that they have expanded. Then we also read of the Midianites. They have come by Keturah, the wife of Abram, after Sarah has died. And then we have heard that Judah has suggested, proposed, let us not lay our hands, but let us sell him. And then they have taken Joseph out of the pit. Oh, how Joseph must have cried. How he must have begged the Lord, "Ach, Lord, wilt thou deliver? Wilt thou turn the hearts of the brothers?" Maybe Joseph had a little hope that his brothers were playing a joke on him. Thus, his hope revived, taken out of the pit, and then to be sold to the Ishmaelites. What a deep way for Joseph. Oh, it can be, under trying circumstances, impossibilities, that the prayers are sent, many prayers, ascend up unto heaven, an opening at the throne of grace, a confession of sin and our unworthiness, and that there can be times that we believe that the Lord has answered our prayer, and then to come in deeper trials and tribulations. I read in Proverbs 13, verse 12, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but the desire granted is as a tree of life. Oh, a Job, in Job 17, verse 11, my times are past, my purposes are broken off, even the thoughts of my heart. It can be in the life of the church that when they are given a certain deliverance and they are given to sing the praises of the Lord, given to believe that the Lord has indeed heard them, and then to experience that the way goes deeper yet. What unfathomable, what mysterious ways. And nevertheless, oh, for that church we have that precious promise in Isaiah 54, verse 11. Oh, thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted. Ah, for that people, between fear and hope, hope and despair, what it must have been for a Joseph when he was bound, when those Ishmaelites, those Midianites, they have taken him. And there he went away from his brothers toward the south. Unfathomable way, Joseph. How is it now with those dreams? It can be in the life of the people of God easier without the dreams than without those dreams, when it goes where it seems that the providence of the Lord is against what the Lord has spoken and what he has promised. Ah, then how the devil can come, where is now thy God, where thou trustest? Do you not really believe that the Lord has spoken? Do you not really believe that those dreams have come from above? Ah, then it is clear it was your strong desires. Oh, it can be in our life with strong desires that we can find a text to suit our circumstances. Oh, was it imagination? Oh, it can be that we think it must have been from the devil, and then attacked with such a thought. Oh, for Joseph, what a deep and unfathomable way. And then it cannot be different when he was taken southward. Hebron was to the south, approximately 60 miles, where those brothers of Joseph were gathered. Ah, that he still had a hope. That who can tell that perhaps when he went toward the south, there would be one that he could get their attention in the vicinity of Hebron. But we do not read of one. The journey has continued southward. What a deep and what a trying way. Ah, they have sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. What do you think, boys and girls? Do you think now those brothers that they were really happy with those 20 pieces of silver? All maybe for a moment, but surely we hope to hear that it was short-lived. Sin is such a bitter thing. Oh, another Joseph, that is the greater Joseph. He has been sold for 30 pieces. Our second thought, Reuben's great perplexity. And then we read, it is evident, those brothers, they were eating with Joseph in the pit. And that Reuben at a distance with the sheep. And it was his plan that he would deliver Joseph. And then we read, and Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. Thus Reuben, he came in great perplexity. 'Tis a blessing when we may come in perplexity, and that perplexity, that it may drive us out to the Lord. Outward circumstances, but above an impression of our sin and of our debt, was the thought of Reuben to deliver. Proverbs 18:19, verse 21. There are many counsels, devices in man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord shall stand. And now once more, the eighth time in this chapter, we read that word, behold. Each behold was decreed, ordered by the Lord's providence, would be for the welfare of the church, would be for the birth of Messiah. Of course, the brothers are very responsible. We have not to work with the degree of God, but with his revealed will. And then Reuben, he has come in a great need. We read, he has rent his clothes. The first time we read it in the scripture, we would say Reuben was dressed in black, plunged in deep perplexity, did not know where he should go. And then we read, whither shall I go? Reuben, he was ashamed. He thought, how must they now appear before my father, the family circle, without a Joseph, still a blessing, sons and daughters do wrong things, that they are still ashamed to appear before father and mother. What an awful thing it is when we become so hard that we are no longer ashamed. Oh, we have all read of circumstances, family circles, where notwithstanding the tears, the begging, the pleas of father and mother, and that sons and daughters, that they have continued to harden their heart, even brought their parents prematurely to the grave. May our children be given to honor their father and mother. Oh, it is true. The brothers of Joseph, Reuben, he should have stood up more bolder. He was the oldest. Nevertheless, still a speaking conscience. And then a Reuben has declared, they are solemn words. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? What must Reuben now do? Do time. They must return to father. They must declare what has taken place. And then without a Joseph, and I, whether shall I go? Oh, let us not judge Reuben too harshly. Nevertheless, do we read it? Have we heard it? and I, whither shall I go? Reuben did not mention Joseph, did not mention his father, did not mention God. Reuben did not say, what shall the heathens, what shall the Canaanites now say, servers of the living God? And then Joseph is not Reuben. He has come into perplexity. And I, whether shall I go? And Reuben has not done anything. We would think undoubtedly that the brothers of Joseph, not only sheep and goats, but also animals to ride upon. Oh, Reuben, whither shall I go? Used in the means. Grab one of your animals and hasten and see if you can find those tradesmen on that trade route, that Joseph may be bought back, whatever it would cost. But we do not read of those things. Whether and I, whether shall I go? Does that ever become our concern? And then I'm not speaking of family circles, but then I am speaking of our sin and of our debt, burdened, walking over the earth. And then it becomes the question, that is a restless soul who has been enlightened and uncovered by the Holy Spirit, learn the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Oh, that we have learned to mourn as we read in the Beatitudes, and then with our sin, whither shall I go? Because such a soul learns that with our sin, we cannot appear before the Lord. Oh, whither shall I go? Oh, it is true that people, that is a paradox, but there is a people that knows it. Whither shall I go? Oh, that just God that must condemn the sinner. Then they are given to flee, come in secret places, cry mightily unto the Lord. And what a blessed place. Oh, you find those souls, whither shall I go? You find him in secret places. You find him with an open Bible. But with everything they have experienced, whither shall I go? Death before them, that is the time of reckoning and a never-ending eternity. Oh, whither shall I go? Then it is not a strange matter to them what we read in Mark 5 concerning that woman with the issue of blood, that she went with too many physicians, but her case grew worse. Ah, for a people that cannot deny what the Lord has done, that they have experienced the wonderful things of the Lord, tokens of his favor, answers upon prayer. Oh, that the Lord has spoken to them. Nevertheless, with everything they have experienced, they learn those words of a Reuben. And whither shall I go? With everything that they have experienced, a sinner still, with that heavenly high debt. Oh, are there such souls in my midst? There can be times that they walk through their house, pacing the floor, begging the Lord, whither shall I go? With everything they have experienced, oh, it is true. They come up to the courts of the Lord. That is their desire, given to hear their name declared. But whither shall I go? Ah, then we have heard it out of the canons of Dort, of those messengers, with those most joyous tidings, where it may be declared that greater Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has loved himself to death, oh, who has satisfied justice, who has paid the price, oh, whither shall I go? That is to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, where it may be declared that there is a full redemption for sinners. Our third thought, the brother's craftiness. Let us first sing. Psalter 415, the 8th stanza. Turn thou unto me in mercy, have compassion on my soul. I am sore distressed and lonely, waves of trouble over me roll. And what follows, Psalter 415, the 8th stanza. Joseph sold to the merchantman traveling to Egypt. Judas' proposal accepted. Reuben's great perplexity. And now thirdly, the brother's craftiness. What do you think, boys and girls? Do you think those brothers of Joseph were truly happy? Ah, maybe for a short time. The dreams of Joseph would never be fulfilled. And they had 20 pieces of silver. But let us always remember that the sweetness of sin, that it is short. The fear of being found out. A troubled conscience. Guilt. Fear of punishment. And shame. I read in Numbers 32 verse 23, be sure that your sin will find you out. And what have the brothers now done? And who shall stand above the brothers of Joseph? Covering up our sins, starred already in paradise, our Father. Adam, they have hid themselves with Adam and Eve. And then Adam has blamed his wife the devil. We think of Gehazi. When the prophet has asked him where he was, he has told a lie and become leprous. The sweet psalmist of Israel, David, more than 9 months, his bones waxed cold. And then Nathan has come before. He has even killed Uriah. How necessary to pray with the psalmist of Psalm 17, verse 5. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Then we see in this chapter a progression of sin. First the thoughts, then the words. Because when Joseph has come, they have spoken to one another that they would get rid of Joseph and say an evil beast has killed him. And that has now happened. Then the brothers, they have taken that long coat. They have killed a kid. You know what that is, boys and girls, not a child. But a baby goat, and dip that coat in blood. What a perplexity. What a difficulties. How necessary that we are given to pray for ourselves, pray for our families, for our fellow travelers, that the Lord may keep us. And then it is evident that they have sent that coat by means of a servant, because we read in verse 32, and they sent the coat of many colors. Thus they thought, first let that servant go. They had to instruct them very clearly what to say, that their sin may be covered. Ah, those brothers, they did not have an impression of what he read in Psalm 139, verse 7. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? In a certain sense, we would say those brothers were stuck. They did not dare to go to their father, would have been their best boys and girls. Could give you different examples. I have read of a young boy, maybe 9, 10. His name was Jacob. And it was his duty every evening to go to the pasture and to fetch the cows. to bring them to the barn that they may be milked. Those days, they did not have nice gates like we do, but there were three poles across the opening. And that evening, little Jacob, he was in a hurry. Whether he had other plans or friends, we do not know. But Jacob, he has only taken down the top two poles and left the bottom. He thought the cows could walk over it. And what has happened? Then the best cow, he stumbled, could not get up. Then you can understand how fearful Jacob was. And then he started thinking, what can I tell my father so it's not my fault? But, oh, little Jacob, he realized that was wrong. And then he ran home as fast as he could with his fingers in his ears so the devil could not whisper in his ears that he must tell a lie. And then he came to his father and started crying and said, Father, your best cow, he cannot get up, think he has broken her leg, and it's all my fault. And then Father and Jacob, they went to the field, and there was the father's best cow, a broken leg, would have to be butchered. And then Father said to his son Jacob, my son, I would rather lose my cows than have a dishonest son. Of course, next time, you must pay better attention and do your duty, but rather to lose my best cows and my best cow or even more cows than to have a dishonest boy. Just simple instruction. For the brothers of Joseph, they have sent that coat to their father. What a distress. But then in this history, then we also see that many a times the Lord, when he punishes sin and when he chastises his people, then there is resemblance what they have done. It is a blessing. When the Lord punishes, chastises, that we are given to turn in unto ourselves and give it to see it. When we consider that coat, that long coat, dipped in blood, thereby deceiving old Jacob, because he was 108 years old at this time, then there must have been times that Jacob, and especially later, that Jacob has turned in unto himself. Jacob, in Genesis 27, it is true, was under the direction of mother, that Jacob would receive the blessing. But do we not read that a Jacob also with skins upon his arms and upon his neck has went to his father Isaac, and Isaac has asked his son how he has caught that venison so quickly. The Lord has brought it to me. And then he has asked once more whether Jacob whether he was Esau, art thou my very son Esau? I am. What an instruction, young and old. Oh, with Jacob, we would say on his wedding day, has worked for Rachel. Say it simply, boys and girls, that Leah has put on the wedding dress of Rachel. And so he has married Leah before Rachel. Our forethought, Jacob's deep sorrow, we read, and he knew it. Cannot explain it. Those that have received tidings of death, and then we think of the family circle in the church with their fears, uncertainties, hopes have faded away. May it yet be granted that the lost may be found. But for Father Jacob, that long coat dipped in blood, this have we found. No, whether it be thy son's coat or no. And then he has declared, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. We read of that coat 8 times in this chapter. 2 different words. They both refer to long coats. The one word speaks to the ankles, to the wrists. Thus we would say, for a Joseph with that long coat would be difficult for an animal to kill Joseph with that long coat on. Let that also be instruction for us. Many times when we speak of immodesty, we speak of women. But let there also be modesty for men, bottom and top, because that coat, that refers to a long coat. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast had devoured him. Then undoubtedly for Jacob must have been. Oh, we all know that everything is directed by the Lord. Jacob has experienced wonderful things, but under those circumstances, although we know it is not right to question the Lord, what a wise there can be. Could have also been for Jacob, why have I sent my son alone? And with a long coat of many colors, where he have perceived that the relationship was not the best with those brothers. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. Father Jacob, what about the dreams which Joseph has dreamed? Oh, for a Jacob, what a perplexity, perhaps easier. if Joseph had never told dreams, was evident in the life of Joseph that he greatly feared the Lord and congregation. So we live, so we shall die. One example of the thief on the cross who was converted at the end of his life. What a deep way for Jacob. The fears, the unknowns, they had even brought a dead Joseph back, the family that understand it. And Jacob rent his clothes and all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. What an hypocrisy concerning those sons, knowing what they have done, and yet afraid, fearful. So often one sin begets another sin, and we need lies to cover it up. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted. What a deep way. Mourning families that do understand it, because congregation, concerning those matters, we need to experience it, to know what it is. But another point, those sons with their wives, because when we read in all his sons and all his daughters, we read in the Bible that Jacob had one daughter, that was Dinah. So we are to understand by those daughters that they were the daughter-in-laws. Thus, for 22 years, that husbands were living with their wives in the way of a certain hypocrisy, because we would think that those sons have not told their wives. When we consider those sons, then we can draw many lines. Of course, when we consider our infirmities, when we consider our prayers, when our tongue still speaks proper things in the way of prayer, but when our heart is not in it, can be multiplied out. But here we read that the sons willfully have lived that way for 22 years. Then we could speak in this evening, when husbands, when they watch porn, speak sweet things to their wife, but living a double life, not satisfied with their wife, but their eyes roaming elsewhere, then are they not the same as those sons have done for 22 years? What a difficult life that must have been. How their conscience must have spoken that they were living with their wife, knowing that they have sold Joseph, and with a lie in their right hand. We could give more examples. One during the week, we are in a bar, and Sunday in church, then we resemble those sons. When on Saturday, we listen to worldly music, and in church on the Lord's Day, we sing the psalters. Oh, then undoubtedly, then we feel like those sons. Maybe someone said, what must we do? Is it then better that we do not come to God's house? No. We must always come to God's house. Then we need to repent of our great sins and cry unto the Lord that he may pardon us, that we may be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, for a Jacob living with those fears, with those unknowns. When we read these verses, mourning as those that have no hope, but he refused to be comforted, and he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. How bitter that sin is. When in Reverend Hellenbrook's question book, he is given to ask whether God is the author of sin, then he says his limits permits it and directs it to a certain end. Then already in this chapter, then we find that Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. 20 pieces of silver, 30 pieces of silver, the brothers of Joseph, they have tried to hide, covered it up. So it was with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When those watchers, when they have went to the Sanhedrin, promised money that they would tell that the disciples have come and stolen the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jacob, that coat dipped in blood, that was the way whereby we may say that it was the code of life, because Joseph needed to be sold into Egypt, that when the Lord would send that great famine, that the family of Jacob would be saved, and that the Messiah would be born. What a beautiful picture. Oh, the coat of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was this that cometh from Edom? Wherefore art thou red in thy apparel? For the church, for those women that have stood afar off, was such a mysterious way that the greater Joseph, he was arrested. He was scourged. Behold the man, the plowers have plowed upon my back, brought to Calvary's hill, to Golgotha, stripped naked of his clothing, has suffered, has died. And then Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, the linen clothes, the 100 pounds of spices. He was buried. We can draw many lines to what we read in this chapter. Oh, the churches wept bitterly. Their master, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was laid in the grave. Their faith has suffered shipwreck. But oh, in those linen clothes, therein lie the life for the church. Oh, we have heard on the morning of the resurrection, the women have come with the spices to yet anoint a dead Jesus. Oh, the Savior who was white and ruddy, who has shed his blood. We read of a coat that was dipped in blood. Oh, the Savior. We read of a fountain that has been opened for the house of David, for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and uncleanness. Oh, in the morning of the resurrection, of Peter and of John were given to see the linen clothes, the napkin, in a place by itself. We have heard of a weeping Mary did not understand the riches. Oh, Father Jacob, would come a time that he would be given to see that coat, that long coat dipped in blood, that it was a coat of life in that way. Joseph would become that Zephaniah Peninnah. Oh, on the evening of the resurrection, then the disciples, then the church was given to understand why he was red in his apparel, why he has suffered, why he has died, that the church may live. Oh, it would be true. Many a year, 22 years, that a Jacob has walked with that coat dipped in blood before he would be given to see that through that coat of blood that there was life for him and his family. Oh, Reuben has said, whither shall I go? Oh, are there then souls walking with a burden of guilt, with a heavenly high debt, and that you cannot appear before your Maker? Oh, then it may be declared, the suffering, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is hung on the cross, but he is risen. Oh, through that suffering and death, there is life for the church. He is hung on the cross with those outstretched arms inviting poor and needy sinners. Oh, in that way, and may it be granted, what a Jacob, what he has heard those glad tidings in Genesis 45, verse 26. Oh, those glory, those tidings where he has heard Joseph is yet alive and is governor over all the land of Egypt. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may acknowledge thee that we could come up to thy house and yet a few words to speak. There are families in our midst that understand those words, and Jacob knew it. Well, thou uphold, and well, thou remember. Lord, work mightily with thy Spirit. That sinners may come to a knowledge of the Savior in the state of his humiliation, but also the state of his exaltation. Watch over us in the furtherance of this week and 2 days. We hope to come up to thy house, where a young couple hope to be united in holy matrimony and begin life's journey together as husband and wife. Oh, Lord, remember, and wilt thou bless it. And both families, it is not strange, and Jacob knew it. Wilt thou grant a proper measure of joy. Another young couple on the same day in another congregation. As far as we know, thou wast given much traveling mercies. Wilt thou also remember that couple and bless thy holy word. Graciously watch over us in this evening hour, the furtherance of this week. May it please thee to remember the needs in the realm of nature. Grant a prayer for one another, and, O Lord, may it be experienced in a richer measure that Joseph is still alive and governor over all the land of Egypt. Oh, it is thy work to grant empty sacks and to empty them each time by renewal. And oh, what those empty sacks by faith to go to those storehouses, and that they may be abundantly filled. Lord, do a great work amongst us. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 439, the stanzas 1 and 2. O Israel's God, how good thou art to all the true and pure of heart. Thou passive saints are fraught with evil. Thou showest favor to thy people, and what follows, 439, 1 and 2. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.